We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call. It's such an honor to work with me in doing this service. Appreciate all those who've served so far. For those who are visiting with us, we appreciate you so very much for being on our call. We pray especially for those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ that you would hear the truth this morning and obey it before it's eternally too late. In Church of the Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. In order to go to heaven, one must believe in this book, and we do that. We also believe in Jesus, that he hung on the cross in Jerusalem around AD 33, and we never saw that with our eyes, but we believe because of this book. The truth of the matter is, he hung there for 6 long hours in pain and shame and agony, shedded blood that washes our sins away in baptism, and the same blood has purchased his church, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. We pray you make the decision this morning to become a member of the Lord's church and obey him from the heart, the teaching or the doctrine that I'll be teaching you about what you must do to be saved. And to those who are members of the Church of Christ, Hollow Heights family, good to hear those who are on the call this morning. And we're especially thankful for our visiting family from other congregations who have joined us across the nation this morning on our conference. We're thankful to have each and every person on the call. Now, we're completing our study this morning of the book of Philippians. I hope you've enjoyed it. Certainly one of my favorite books of the Bible, where Paul emphasizes rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, he says, rejoice. And as we learn to live this Christian life, we can find joy no matter what's going on in our lives. And we've learned that. That echoed through this whole study. And this morning, I want to close with the topic, I can do all things. All things in life can be done. Paul puts this in the closing of his letter to the Philippians. He said this. And we're going to start in verse 8, and we'll make some thoughts here, and the lesson will be yours. Paul says, finally, brethren, he's concluding this letter. He sums up here the Christian duties in a single paragraph. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Paul says, think on these things. So he closes here. He says, whatsoever things are true. You know, as we focus in on this closing there, there's something that rings out to us when it comes to being a Christian, and that is truth. Not all things are truth, but there are things that are truth. And one of the things that we should be thankful for as members of the Church of Christ, that God left us truth. Jesus was truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So we think of truth. There's truth, and then there's error. But we must think on these things. Think on truth. Be true in word. In your words, believe the true word of God. Be true in your actions. And what you do, and in thought, because Christ is truth. If we call ourselves Christians, then his followers must be truth. And one of the things I find in my counseling is that many people can be honest with truth for themselves. It's important that you can look in the mirror and understand the truth of who you are, what you're about, what you're doing, what your behaviors are. and face it. When you face truth, think on that thing. Next, think on this. Honest. Think on being honest. The word really is reverence in the Greek. It says whatever is worthy of reverence. When you look at honest, it goes a long way to get respect. When people are honest, they're honest people. Christians should be honest. Think on that. Are you an honest Christian? Are you one who holds to the truth, even when it hurts? Sometimes honest people tell the truth, and truth hurts. But you still got to be honest. Whatsoever things are just, justice, strict justice in all our dealings, in an upright life. We ought to do what's right, what's just as Christians. Think on that. Do you do what's just? Have you thought about that? Are you doing what's right? Are you living this upright life? Doing the best you can to be just. What about pure? What about things that are pure? Clean life, clean hearts and thoughts. No, we're not talking about perfection. Not in that sense. But the fact of truth, when you start looking at one who's pure, this is a person who has a mind to be cleansed, pure, innocent, modest type mindset. Chaste doesn't mean you have a clean, pure thought. But he said, think on it. So we think and change, and we move in a direction that, as a Christian, we look at purity, cleansing ourselves. And Jesus gave us the cleansing power for sin. That's what he gave. It was his blood. And you think on the things about yourself. These are the things we think on as Christians, being pure. What sort of things are lovely? This is simply such deeds as that come from love and that inspire love in others. You know, can you say there are things that you can think of that are lovely? Lovely. Are there people that you love? Are there people that you hate? There's no room for hatred. You know, think on this. What's lovely? What's lovely to have a loving person in your life? It's lovely to have a loving heart. A heart that springs to others, to care for them, take care of them. Deeds that are motivated by love. How far will you go because you love someone? How far do you go? Love can drive you to the max to do whatever you got to do to help someone else. Because God is love. Think on that. Think on things of good report. A life in which one can look at and someone can speak well of you. You know, somebody say when a person dies, they say, when the things I've done and said speak for me. That's the report you need. It's the life that we live. And what we're doing in this life is writing a report. Think on your report. Is it a good report of a Christian who came into the Lord's kingdom, was baptized for the remission of your sins, live the life, stay connected to God, you have a good report. You can say, I gave it my best. When I fell, I got up. When I was wrong, I said, I'm sorry. Things like that. Somebody needs you to forgive them. Maybe you just ask, and you got it. That's a good report, but I'm able to forgive, or I'm able to admit I'm wrong. And ask for forgiveness. Those kind of things are reports of a Christian. What about things, if there be any virtue? It says, he asks, if there be anything else virtuous or praiseworthy, that all these things you think of virtue, anything to be praised, think of them. So Paul is coming to these Philippian Christians, and he said, give these things some thought. What he's really talking about is the lives that they live. In verse 9, he says, those things which you have both, notice, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I'm going to recap on this verse later on. But I want you all to think about what Paul said. How many people on this call can make this statement to somebody else? How many can stand before the church, or before your family, friends, say, the things that you've learned, things that you've received, things that you've heard, and things you've seen in me, do. What a powerful thought that you could say that to a listening audience. This is what I want you to do. Whatever you learn from me. The only way Paul would have said this is that he knew what he did. Taught them by God. What they received from him, taught them by God. What they heard from him, taught them about God. What they saw in him, taught them about God. That's the only way he would say, do it. And he said, the reward is that the God of peace shall be with you. Yeah, how many on the call could tell someone to do that and know for sure that God would be with you based on what you've learned, you receive, what you've heard? If you just do what you've seen in me, you're going to get peace from God. See, it's the God of peace in this verse that matters. It's because Paul was a Christian. He was an apostle. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what people around us should be able to see, Christ in us. Because peace comes from God. And it says, the God of peace, which means the peace he's speaking of, belongs to God. Like the church of Christ. Christ, the church belongs to Christ. The peace Paul is talking about here belongs to God. You know, that's a peace there. That's past the understanding he's talking about. When we live a life where others can see Christ in us, then God can make a difference in the lives of those people because of you. What a powerful thought that is. Paul says, he will be with you. And we always want God with us. So Paul was confident that his life he's lived, which tells me that you can live a life where you can be confident what you've done, that God was with you. How are you living this morning? Are you confident that the life you're living, others see it, and you can say, God, peace will be with you if you do what I've done? I hope there's somebody on the call who's living like that. Verse 10, he said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly because this congregation, and we learned Epaphroditus was sent to him, he was blessed. They took care of Paul. Paul was in a prison, but they took care of Paul. And that's the love of the church. And one thing I know, after being in Hollywood since 07, there are people that's going to love you. They love you because when you serve people, people will love you They understand you. They had to understand Paul was just human. Paul was a servant. And when we work together as a congregation, we can rejoice greatly when we help each other through difficult times. And God knows right now, our family, we've been separated for 2 years almost. But God has blessed us still to learn a lot of things. Some things we took for granted. But now, we know that when people needed us at the church, we would provide care for them. Paul understood his situation was one that wasn't pleasant. Being in prison, being in a dungeon, being in the cold. But what warmed his heart, was the love the congregation showed to him. Now, I've experienced that in my ministry. When I know the congregation loves. And I'm sure you experienced that in your life. Just being one of the members of Hollow Heights, me and my members have been blessed and know the love. We often hear that in the confessions and prayer requests. People know that we have been blessed to have a family and we can bond together and work together. Paul said, "You care of me, your care of me flourished." Meaning, went above and beyond, which we should do, to make sure the gospel is preached. Oftentimes, people call me and thank me for what I'm doing. Yeah, I signed up for this. I want to do it. I love doing it. It's always encouraging. You know, there are people out there who appreciate what you're doing, also support what you're doing when it comes to serving the Lord in the capacity of ministry. He was in the capacity of an apostle, but they took care of him. He said, "Wherein you were also careful." They were careful, making sure they done the things that he needed. They were careful to make sure that they didn't miss the opportunities that he was given. They were given to provide care for the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul said, "Now, not that I speak in respect of want. Not that I speak in respect of want," Paul says. See, they had been taking care of him. Not that he had to ask for it. He said, I don't want you to think that I'm recalling because I was in want. He says, "For I have learned," and this is something all of us can take to heart right here. There's a learning necessary. Just to as we live this life, there's a learning for Christians that whatsoever state I am, what's your state this morning? I mean, what's your situation this morning? Paul's situation, I repeat it, being in prison and shackled all up. I didn't call asking for anything, he says. Not that I had. But here's where I am. No matter what happens in my life, he says, therewith be content. You know, sometimes we take things for granted. Many times we pray to God or we ask for something and we get some of what we want. But we understand this. And each of us need to understand this. God answers prayers according to his will. So I'm going to give you whatever you want according to God's will. See, God gave us everything we wanted. Some of us would be Christians. The way we want it. The way we want it. And the way God knows we need it. The two different things. The Bible is truth. Filled with truth. Truth about men. Like David. Things he done. Truth to hear about Isaiah, Jeremiah. Truth to hear about the apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul, who killed the Christians. A lot of things went on. But when you think about it, they all had different states. You might be in a state this morning where you would prefer to have something better than you have, maybe a better home, a better house, a better condition. But can you be content with what God has done for you? Sometimes we have this thing called the common evil among men. What is that, Brother Brooks? Solomon talked about it, Ecclesiastes. The sin of ingratitude. We're not thankful. Got a house. Got shelter. Got clothes. You got food. But there are things that you want that you don't have. And you can't be thankful for what you have. Even sometimes our health. Our state may be, I'm sick. I'm taking medicine. I'm a diabetic. I'm this. I'm that. But there are other people. I'm often told when I was young, I've heard it many times, I'm sure you have too. If you think you got it bad, look around you. What is the message in this verse here that I think rings out? Whatever state I am in. What is your state this morning? What is your situation? What is encouragement? Being content means you're able to be okay with it. Mean you're okay with your situation. How can Christians such as Paul be okay with his situation? Because he understood it was in the hand of God. Many people are living stressful lives trying to control things out of their control. Change things they cannot change. Rather than accept the state that you're in. Accept it. And Paul says, I'm content with that. I'm okay with that. I'm there when it comes to being content or at a place where I'm okay with what's going on in my situation. Are you content this morning? Are you okay with your situation? Are you asking for more even though it's pretty good? Are you asking for more even though you got much of what you want? There's a form of greed. There's a form of inappreciation for, you know, I appreciate what God has done for you. I'm in on a call this morning. Appreciate where you are. Thank God for your situation. He's thinking. Here's what happens. As I asked that question, Paul went on to tell them some things. He said, here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know how to be abased. He had experience in all things. He had plenty. But he knew what the lower state he had to be in. He learned how to. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. So there's two things. Be abased at the basics, or to abound and flourish. See, most people trying to learn how to flourish in life and the abound part of it. You know, taking the low road often takes us a better direction. Taking the low road means humbling yourselves. Taking the low road means the base of it. It's going to be okay at my lowest point. I'm okay at my highest point. Everywhere and everything and all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to a suffering need. The Apostle Paul was just saying, doesn't matter the conditions, whether I'm full or hungry, whether I'm suffering, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be okay with the Lord. As long as I can be content, because everything is in the hand of God. Here's how I know that. In verse 13 is where he brings it to me, he brings the main thought of this verse, of this chapter. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Our strength comes from the Lord. That's why Paul was okay. That's why he was content. That's why it didn't matter when he was at high point, lowest point, because his faith was totally in Christ. He knew God would bring him through. He trusted in the Lord. He was strengthened by Christ himself. The Lord will be with us, you all. We can do all things through Christ, because Christ is God, and God is able to provide for his children. Sometimes we forget who's a provider. Who provides? Who woke us up this morning? Who going to get us through today? Who going to get you through your situation? You said, Brother Brooks, I'm going through something right now. We all got something in our lives. All of us on this call, every one of us, have our own personal DNA. There's no person like you. There's no situation. No one have identical situations in life. But one thing we can have in common as Christians, that we know that God, if we hold to God's unchanging hand, as the song says, God will strengthen us. And maybe you're feeling weak this morning, or you're feeling like you don't know how you're going to make it. May I suggest Jesus? I want you to look to the hill and come at your help. Look to Christ, who can strengthen you, who can get you through your situation. Put your eye on him and don't look back. We can do all things, y'all, through Christ. Paul had that mind that God was able. And sometimes we lose sight. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we start depending on ourselves. But it's never too late. It's never too late to come back to the Lord. It's never too late to change your mind. And store thinking on the things that the Apostle Paul has written in this book, this letter here. And say to yourself, no matter my situation, everything going to be all right. That's the song we say, everything going to be all right. As long as we hold to Christ, he will provide us strength. Verse 14, Paul said, notwithstanding, you have well done. You did communicate with my afflictions. Paul said, you were there for me. You communicated. You fellowship with me. And that's what Christian love is all about. We've had a lot of family members who've gone through difficult times, hoping that you're on the call and you've had communication and fellowship, understanding that it's their family today. But it could be your family tomorrow. We are all going to go through something, but it's important that we have this shared fellowship and we can look at each other and we can look at others and say, you done well. You understood that Christ was able. You understood that I was going through these things. And you communicated with my afflictions. You could understand it. You know, when you can't really talk about something if you haven't had the experience. That's one thing for sure. And all of us have these different experiences. There are people there that was communicating with him that had the experiences. Paul understood that these people was there and understood that his situation wasn't the greatest situation. They understood, but he told them, you done well. They understood that God would give him strength to get through this still, this ordeal that he was going, this affliction. And they were there to support him, to encourage him through the situation. Now he said, verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. See, there was a special place in the heart for the Apostle Paul, for the Philippians. There were some times when no one reached out to help him, but them, this congregation. No communication had fellowship. Those who were laborers, but they were focused on their own things. But there was this congregation in Philippi who, Paul said, there were times no one else was there for me, but you only. You know, there's going to be people in your life, sometimes they may not be available or may not be there for you, but you're going to remember those. Remember those who were there for you. Paul said this all in the beginning of the gospel. When he first obeyed, there were some people who thought he was still the same old man. It would have nothing to do with it. Philippi kept him in mind, and they supported his ministry, and they supported the Apostle Paul. And as we live this Christian life, you all, there are people who may desire to be there with you. They can't at the time. But let's not forget those people who stood by you in a difficult time. Don't overlook the people who was there when others left you. Remember those people. And then as Paul is doing with them, he encouraged them, and he was thankful for them, and they knew he had. He was thankful for them. He said, well, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. He said, Thessalonica, you did it. Not because I desire give again. Paul said, not because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I'm full. Have received from of Epaphroditus things which were sent from you, an odor, sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable and well pleasing. But God, he knew that these people, these congregation, took care of him, and the blessing came as an odor of sweet smell. It was a sacrifice acceptable, and that will be well pleasing to God. Remember, Holly Heights, we're supposed to be there to help each other. Make sure when we have friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who are sick and shut in, brothers and sisters in Christ who have lost loved ones, going through difficult situations, that we sacrifice and do for them something that's well-pleasing in the eyesight of God. And there are times that I'm sure you can remember. There are times when I can remember when people in my life done things that I know was well-pleasing. They had to make a sacrifice to do it, but it was well-pleasing to God. An odor of sweet smell, something that was very special. But he said, but my God, at the end of the day, Paul knew this. My God. Who God? Paul said, my God. My God shall supply all your needs. God is the one, brothers and sisters, that takes care of us. He's our provider. You think about God. Think about what Paul is saying. He says, but I've said all of that. God going to take care of you. You know, you reap what you sow. You do good. God, he's telling them that my God going to supply all your needs. But know how it is. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, God provides for our needs according to his riches, back to his will, back to how God want to bless us. His riches in glory, notice what it's about, Christ Jesus. By Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to the sin-sick world and died. Think about the greatest need that was met was the saving of our soul. The saving of our soul, God met the need and according to his riches, giving up his son, giving up the beauty of heaven, taking off the robe of divinity and putting on the robe of humanity. The greatest need that mankind had was a Savior. And God, that's where it all starts as Christians, that God has met our greatest need. The greatest need for anybody on this call is the saving of your soul. And God gave his son. He shedded that blood that will wash your sins away in baptism. Wow. To save your precious soul. Came through riches and glory by Christ Jesus who hung on that cross. He said, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. How many of you give God, our Father, glory in your life? See, think about it. We should wake up in the morning giving God the glory. Start a new day giving God the glory. Come home from the hospital giving God the glory. Still got a job giving God the glory. Things going good giving God the glory. Things not still going good, so good. Abounding or abasing. I'm okay. I'm going to give the glory to God. God knows what's best for his children. He don't always give us what we want. He don't always give it. I think that's misunderstood, the thing. When God said, whatever you ask, I give it. But it's according to his will. Everything, even Jesus, asked God in the garden to let this cup pass. He taught us about prayer. God answers prayers according to his will. So whatever you ask, you get it, but it's going to be according to his will. That's the important thing to remember. See, Jesus said, let this cup pass. He let this cup pass. But he taught us in that request from his Father, when he said, let this cup pass, he said this, not my will. You hear? He said, not my will, but your will be done. So when you ask, he gives. He gives you everything you ask for according to his will. If he gave man everything they asked for according to their will, they wouldn't give him the praise and the glory. Many would not even know the Lord, for they got everything according to a person's will. When Jesus was in that, when he was in that garden, he knew his only hope was God would say no to the cross. And he accepted God's will. And God's will was, yes, you got to go. You got to go to the cross, son. That was his father. Three times he asked it, saying the same thing. And then when he went back to the apostles, and he saw him, so he told them to sleep on him. Why? He accepted the answer of his prayer. Did God give him what he asked for? Absolutely. But it was according to his will and not ours. See, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. When we try to measure, you know, I pray to God. I pray to God for a new car. I pray to God. He gave me, said, whatever I ask, I'm going to give it to you. He did. He gave it to you according to his will. That's what he done. And when we do that, when we understand God's will, you accept God's will, you know what? You know that in your life, God is in control. And what you ask for, And that's where Jesus, somebody sent me a text about this verse, Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, therefore I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What did you ask for? He said, whatever, so whatsoever. Then he gave us an example. You ask for something according to your will, but God doesn't answer questions, prayers according to our will. It was his will, so you got what you asked for, but tag this to it. Just like Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. What you saying, brother? The will of God. May the will of God be done in your life. And so God answers prayers according to his will. And whatever we do, wherever we go, James said, whatever you do, you don't do this today or tomorrow. You know, you always say, if it's the Lord's will. The condition on it, if it's the Lord's will, we do this and that. When you live this Christian life, we accept the will of God. You say, man, how can Paul say things like, man, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things in this life are not good. How can they work together for good? Because God's will is being done in your life. And whatever God does, whether it's tragedy, trauma, and it brings you closer to him, his ultimate goal is that he so loved us that his ultimate goal would, I give my best to save your soul. And sometimes we have to go through trauma, tragedy, death, close calls to death. For we have that wake-up call. The wake-up call. God is saying to us, this life is not promised. It's not going to last forever. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins, why am you can't come? Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Their call is the call of the gospel. The whole purpose of the gospel call is to save our souls. That's it. It's to save our souls. So when we lose a loved one, it brings us closer to God. It was good for us. If I almost got killed in a car wreck and I lived through it, it was good for us. If I was in a house with a burning house, I barely got it, it was good. If it brings you closer to God. You know, some people don't say, oh my God, something's tragic. Something's going on. They don't go to a church building because something happens to them. They don't stop drinking until something happens. They don't stop cursing and fussing and fighting until something happens. And God gets their attention. So our prayers are answered according to his will. So when we say unto God, our Father, who art in heaven, we pray. We're giving him the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Paul said, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen. And then he went on to close with salutation. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. He didn't want to name every name. He didn't name every name. Just said every saint in Christ. The brethren which are with me greet you. He gives them a greeting from the brothers who are with him. And all the saints salute you, chiefly that they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Oh, amen. May the grace of God be with us. Lord knows we need grace, and we need the grace of God to be with us. Let me close by doing this, a kind of a summary of the lesson, this chapter here. And the whole idea of Philippians was one of encouragement to all of us, and hopefully you've been encouraged by the study. Hopefully you have been encouraged to keep that inner joy within you. You've been encouraged to know your situation, as bad as you see it, because you have God, everything going to be all right. Hopefully you understand through this lesson that life is not going to provide us roses all the time, that we're going to have some difficult times in life, but we still have joy. We have joy. We can rejoice as long as we understand that what's going on in our lives is according to the will of God. And when we understand that, we will give God the glory. In this chapter, there are seven things, if you would take note of, that comes out that will get your attention in this chapter. And here it is. Number one, in Philippians 4, verse 6, first thing I will point out to you, the privilege of prayer. It helps us. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is a privilege. The second thing, the peace that we get as Christians. Philippians 4:7, Paul said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. This peace keeps us okay through our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So number one, it teaches us the privilege of prayer to help us. Number two, the peace that keeps us okay in our minds. Number three, knowing God's presence. The presence of God. In Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And this is why I say I'm coming back to this one. And the God of peace shall be with you. As long as we learn from these lessons that God is with us, we start trusting God. He's always with us. He said he'd never leave us, never nor forsake us. Number one, there's a privilege of prayer in this chapter he talks about. Number two, talking about the peace that keeps us. Number three, the presence of God that's with us all the time. Number four, there's a pattern before us. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he said, this finally, brother, here you come the pattern. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just, things that appear lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said this. He looked for that pattern right there. Think on all these things that cause you to live a better life as a Christian. We understand. Then number five, there's a calmness. It provides a policy kind of to calm us. It's like the mind that you're okay no matter what situation you're in. He said, not that I speak in respect of one. Remember that verse 11? For I have learned that whatever state I am, there will be content. When you're content, you can remain calm in all situations. Number six, verse 13 teaches about the power to strengthen us as Christians. He said, where does that power come from? Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's the one right there. There's power. What's going to give us strength? Christ. What can we do? All things. All things according to his will. Paul understood that. Number seven. That God will provide. He promised to provide for us. In verse 19, is where he ended up with that last statement. In verse number 19, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe there's privilege in prayer? Do you believe the peace of God can keep us? Do you believe you have a presence of God with you? Do you believe that you can think on the things that he mentioned as a pattern in your life? Do you believe that you can be calm and content in your situation? Do you believe that God can strengthen us no matter what our situation may be? You can do all things. And lastly, do you believe that God will provide for you like he promised? He'll take care of us, y'all. And I hope and pray that this lesson has blessed your life to know, as we close the book of Philippians, you can one day, you can say as you live this life, I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say I can rejoice. My favorite scripture, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? God is good. Not just some of the time. But God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Therefore, I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the privilege of prayer. You're missing out on this peace I talk about. You're missing out on the presence of God. You're missing out on that calmness you can have. You're missing out on the strength that God can give you and help you through all day. You're missing out on his promises. And he promised us that one day, if we live this life and we be faithful unto that, he promised us a crown of life. And, you know, we talk about heaven. We talk about heaven. I want to see that place. It's got to be beautiful. I want to see that place. One day we'll get to see God face in peace. If we continue to live this life, then we'll get to walk the street that's gone. The walls of jasper. And to me, the greatest joy of being a Christian is to know that one day I'll be with God and there'll be no reasons to cry no more. I just like that thought. That God will wipe away all tears. How does God allow us to live a life and love each other and follow love and take the loved one away? But God is saying, one day I'm taking all the pain away. No more. What he did it to save our souls so we can live with him eternally. And if you're on the call this morning and you're not a Christian, you're going to miss out on that. So how do you become a Christian, Brother Brooke? You become a Christian by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to believe the Bible because that's where your faith, your belief store, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, then you believe in this true story of a father who so loved you that he gave his only son. And you believe that son came and walked among men in the person of Jesus the Christ, the one who stood before Pilate, and Pilate said he found no fault with it. The one that they beat with the whip, the one that they put the crown of thorns on his head, the one that they put the tree of the cross on his back. And he went to Calvary, where they drove the nails in his hands and in his feet. It was on that cross that God had showed his love for you. And Jesus said himself, greater love had no man than this. And he would lay down his life for his friend. Even when you're in your sins, Jesus had a love for you. He could call you his friend. He would have to die to save your soul. Then you've got to believe that story. You've got to believe that. You never saw Jesus. So if you believe the Bible, then you'll believe he was on that cross for 6 hours. And the Bible says, John 18:34, when he died, the soldier pierced him in his side. I came blood and I came water. And in baptism, you contact that blood and the water. That's where your sins are washed away. Acts 2 and verse 38. So you got to believe it. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, to go preach this gospel. Tell everybody what I did for them. That's my job. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. And if you believe it, then you'll repent. But Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I'll tell you next time you repent, you're going to perish. You don't want to perish from you. You got to change your life. You got to change your mind about the way you're living and start living a life of Christ. Give your life to Christ this morning. Be willing to confess him before me as the Son of God. And then give your body to be buried with him in baptism. To rise to walk in newness of life. Baptism is where you contact the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5. Baptism is where your sins are washed away. Acts 22:16. Baptism is when you become a new creature. John 3, Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot see. I'm not going to even let you in. Can't let you see it. You got to be born again. And that born again process, not when you came from the mother womb. No, no, no. Don't let none look at this, not your mama. Come when you're born of the water, when you rise to walk, when you break that water, you break that water as a new child coming up out of the water of the grave of baptism, that's when you've been born again. The second birth is a spiritual birth. You need that today to be Christian. And we hope you will accept our invitation for you to come this morning by hitting 5-star on your phone. And then say, you know what, brother, I'm so thankful to be on this call. I do know this. I need Christ, because with Christ, I can do all things because he'll strengthen me. And that's when you're on the right track right there. If you're a Christian this morning, you need the Lord. I talked about a lot of things this morning. Hopefully I touched you in a special way. If you're a Christian, you need prayer. We want you to hit 5-star on your phone, and we will pray for you. If you need to make a confession, hit 5-star on your phone, and we will pray for you. We'll pray for God. You know, God asked us to confess our faults. Now, we got to do that. If you need whatever you need, you can ask us, as it pertains to your spiritual well-being, let me say it like that. You hit 5-star on your phone, and we're here to serve you. Why? We just like the Philippians. We understand this, that we're all in this together. We are family. In all heights, as we end this lesson, I will say this. Because we're a family, sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. There are times we dream together how it's going to be when we all get to heaven as God's family. And if you're not in the family of God this morning, we hope of you left the Lord, rather, as a child of God. Come home. Come home. We'll cry with you. We'll share with you. But come home. Come home, repent, and asking God to forgive you. This morning, know this. You can do it. You can do all things. You can get up. You can make it. You can repent. You can come back, because God will give you the strength to do it. Just follow his will and obey his will, and God will bless you in a special way. At this time, we ask our soul to give us a song of encouragement. If you want to call you a visitor, we want you to hit 5-star. We'll get you baptized wherever you are. In our listening audience, we'll make sure we get you baptized today. Just let us know. We'll take that confession and get you baptized. If you're visiting from other congregations, you're welcome to respond as well. Members of church need to respond if you're visiting us. We love to know who you are. Just hit 5-star on your phone as we sing the invitation song. Brother Smith.